it's born from this passion that both Todd and I have. Good leaders enable their people to succeed. And we're like, well, let's just do that. And now we have 30,000 students on our platform. We've issued over 20,000 certifications.
That's so crazy.
The divorce was pretty brutal. I questioned who I was. There were essentially two paths. There's the one path that you could go down where you just feel sorry for yourself. You beat yourself up. You question your ability as a husband, as a partner,
yeah,
as a parent. And then there's the other path where I could just say, all right, I'm going to get past this.
Yeah.
Right? I have to do that, not just for myself, but for my kid. And that's the path I chose. I had a divorce party, and it was on the 1st of May, so it was my single de mayo party. So I find out like a week prior to this being published that it was going out in the New York Times.
Okay, it's over. So now let's party.
Okay, it's over. So now let's party. And on the front page is a color photo of me standing with that girlfriend and two other women on a picture on the front page of the Sunday Style section of the New York Times.
Oh, wait, are you wearing Lay's?
Yes, I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh!
Did you find it?
Yes. Oh, I wish I were there.
It was fun.
Although it was probably like 2005, so I was six.
That's great. Thank you. Thanks for that. I'm going through my first divorce when you're six. Is this where I can call you an asshole?
Sure.
Are you going to cut this out? You better cut that out. Wow.
Welcome to episode 12 of Success Unscripted. Today, I have a very special guest, Andrew Marks, co-founder of Success Coaching, which offers the only accredited customer success certification on the planet. And purely by coincidence, today, April 12th, is a special day for both of us. It's his wedding anniversary with his current wife, not the ex that we talk about on the show. And it's my 35th birthday, which, if you're listening closely, means that I was actually 16 when he had his single day Mayo party, not six, but who's counting? And as a gift to my listeners, Success Coaching is offering 20% off of their level one solo program with code SRLAUNCH39. That's SR as in Sarah Roberts, launch, LAUNCH 39. So be sure to check it out. Whether you're new to CS or just looking to brush up on your skills, they've got something for everybody. As always, thanks for being here. I'm your host, Sarah Roberts, and you're listening to Success Unscripted. I wanted to ask you before we really get into it, like, the more I'm doing these, the less I really like to focus a ton on actual customer success. And there's a lot of themes that are coming up around like mental health or workplace trauma or just hard things that you've had to grow through. I think that's the stuff that people are gravitating towards and the differentiator of my show as opposed to like customer success podcasts that are just about customer success. This is more like, how do you be a successful, happy human and have workplace be additive to that rather than subtracting from your happiness? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So in that regard, like, are there any specific things I can ask you about that, like, I don't want to use the word salacious, but
you want to ask me about my divorce?
Yeah.
Okay. My first divorce. My second one hasn't happened yet.
Right. Yeah. I used to date a guy that would say he would introduce me as his future ex-wife.
Right. Yeah. I've been there.
You've introduced your wife as that?
I've introduced my girlfriend as that. This is my future ex-wife.
Yeah, not the best look, but I guess, no. Yeah.
Well, I did it tongue in cheek. It was really more of a...
Well, and especially if you have been divorced, then it's like, I was 18 at the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, had been divorced. That's why it was
right.
And quite frankly, at the time, there was this undertone, you know, because I was questioning I questioned who I was.
Mm.
The divorce was pretty brutal.
Yeah. What do you tell me more about? You questioned who you were.
I questioned myself. I'm like, okay, dude, you know, I questioned, you know, she made a lot of claims and a bunch of bullshit. It was like fake news before fake news became a thing. And the problem was, you know, at the time I had a then 4-year-old son who's now 24.
Mm-hmm.
And she was filling his head with a bunch of bullshit.
Oh no.
Oh yeah. It was nasty. It was nasty. So that was, that took all of my kind of personal will.
Yeah. So this was before success coaching then, right? This was 20 years ago.
This was long before success coaching.
What were you doing at the time work-wise?
I was working. As a matter of fact, it was when I met Todd.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was back in our days together at Genesis. Things went to hell in a handbasket, you know, by year three, or when he was 3 years old. And this was a woman that I had known since college. We met in college, and we were dating in college, and then we moved in together into the Bay Area. And my first job out of college was at Apple.
Apple corporate?
I was at Apple in Campbell. So that was their customer assistance center.
Okay.
So I've been in customer facing teams my entire freaking life.
Literally since day one. Yeah.
Literally since day, even before I went to college. So when I graduated high school, I was not ready for, you know, formal college.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up going to community college. And while I was living at home, my dad said, I will financially support you to go to school. I'll pay your room and board, college tuition, your books, all that stuff. So, but you got to get a job, to do whatever other stuff
right
you want. Also, you know, put gas in your car, that sort of thing. So before I got serious about college, and I use the quotes on purpose because me getting serious about college was going to Chico. And at the time, Chico was a huge party school. As a matter of fact, the year I got there, they had just been named number one party school in the country by Playboy. And it was a huge party.
Yeah.
And that's where I met my first wife. When I was literally living in the fraternity house. Yeah. I mean, I leaned into the party aspect of Chico.
What frat were you in?
Pi Kappa Phi.
Okay. I was a Pi Phi.
You were Pi Phi.
Yeah. At UCSB.
As a matter of fact, one of my roommates, who at one point was the president of our fraternity, was dating the president of the Pi Phis.
Oh.
And they ended up getting married, and they're still together. They've had two kids. There is one of my closest friends.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a sweet story.
He was, though. He was one of my closest friends.
Was.
Everything changes after divorce.
After divorce, yeah.
You know, you're no longer a couple.
And they kind of have to take sides.
Well, no, it wasn't as much that. It was, I was no longer a couple, and they were hanging out with couples.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. And families. And I was no longer a couple.
Right.
And you know what it, the lesson that I learned from that, having seen some of my other friends get divorced, there were essentially two paths that you can go down, right? There's the one path that you can go down where you just feel sorry for yourself. You beat yourself up. You question your ability as a husband, as a partner, as a parent. You know, some of the attacks that she made against me were just so nasty, and they were so they're so untruthful. And so there's that one path I could go down where I could feel sorry for myself and kind of, you know, mire myself in depression and all that sort of stuff. And then there's the other path where I could just say, all right, I'm going to get past this.
Yeah.
Right. I have to do that, not just for myself, but for my kid. And that's the path I chose. And what ended up happening was I ended up kind of leaving that relationship and moving on and finding myself in a better place, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And as a kind of a side benefit, I had one of my best years at work. Because when I wasn't with my kid, I was working. I just threw myself into my work. And for a few years there, I just threw myself into my work. I ended up building one of the largest consulting practices in the country from one of the smallest ones that I inherited. And my former boss at Crystal was my boss at the time that I was going through the divorce. And he said to me, he said, I know you're going through a divorce, but you had an amazing year. And he kind of jokingly said, you should get divorced every year. But yeah, it was all about the mindset. And, you know, it didn't hurt that I was, I love my kid.
Yeah.
To death.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt that every other week I was on my own living like a rock star, you know,
yeah.
With a nice expense account. And at one point, they put me in charge of the gaming and hospitality vertical. And we spent 18 months going there every 4 to 6 weeks. Doing like 24-hour benders, you know.
Yeah.
It was crazy. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, I would leave SFO at like noon on a Thursday, land in Vegas, and we would always have our events at the House of Blues, which is at the top of Mandalay. And back then it was a private club.
Oh. Right?
And my brother was a member. And so we'd go and we'd see these acts. I saw who did I see? Oh, well, Chris Isaak was one of my favorites. But we saw all these acts, these live acts, and we'd had this private room that overlooked the stage. And so we would have these events where we'd have food and we'd invite all these executives and we'd schmooze, and then we'd end up going down to the casino after the event and gambling and drinking, and then I'd go back to my room at like, you know, 6 in the morning to take a shower because I haven't slept all night.
Oh no.
And then board a plane and be back in San Francisco in my office down by the Embarcadero by noon.
How old were you? I mean, that takes stamina.
I was in my mid to late 30s. You got to remember, I went to Chico. Okay. So I went to Chico. And I went to Chico because I spent 3 years in junior college. I went to Chico the year I turned 21. I turned 21 in February and started Chico in August of that year.
So that's the education you got, was how to party like a rock star.
I don't know if it was as much education as well as just kind of building up the stamina to be able to go and do 24-hour.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that was I crazy. Used to my very first job out of college. I was at this like high speed data transfer company, and they would send me to Vegas for a week every year to do NAB.
A week is so long. Oh my God!
Exactly. A week in Vegas. Like, are you kidding me? And it was fun. But a week is a long time. And I remember coming back one year, and I was sitting on the plane. I was sitting on the aisle, and I never sleep on planes. I can't, like, I'm not comfortable enough. I can't fall asleep. I fell asleep, and I woke up with my head on this guy's shoulder, and he's young, and his wife is sitting right next to him, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I've been sleeping like the whole way from Vegas to San Francisco.
I was going to say you were just in San Francisco, so it's not like it was a long flight.
Yeah, I mean, I just and they were like, yeah, we were thinking about waking you up, but it was just so cute, and they were young, they were probably in their mid 30s or something, but you know, I was like 22, and
yeah, a week is way too long. I mean, 3 days is too long.
Yeah. So okay, so back to like the divorce, which sounds awful. You said how like it was a choice and a mindset shift to decide to not let this just eat you alive. Do you recall how you were able to really make that choice to move towards the light?
You know, there was a couple of things. So the success at work was big. I mean, I found a lot of success at work. You know, because I had such a screwed up relationship with my ex. And relationships are super important to me. I kind of over-index on relationships with my customers. I'm not gonna pin it all on the divorce, but it really, that divorce kind of forced me to kind of focus.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And there was, believe me, I found myself going down dark hallways.
Okay, I do want to give some context real quick.
Yes.
About what you do right now. So COO, right? And co-founder.
COO, chief practice. Actually, I've been, COO is really just kind of because I drew the short straw. So I handle making sure everybody gets paid. Really more my focus is on the product.
Yeah. But yeah, what is success coaching?
So success coaching is we are a skills development platform. We have a whole bunch of technology and content that is used to help individuals and teams deliver success for their customers, do better at helping their customers get value, which is kind of part of my, like I said, back to kind of part of my ethos. I want to make sure my customers are getting value. So it's born from this passion that both Todd and I have and have had throughout our careers to ensure that the people who are buying stuff from us are getting value. We have a B2B offering and big teams, HP, IBM, Red Hat, NetApp, Broadcom, VMware. I mean, all across the spectrum, not just tech companies, but pretty much anybody in a customer-facing role will get value out of what we teach. And so we offer this skills development, this training in three primary forms. We have a purely autonomous, self-based training program. Then we offer 3-day instructor-led boot camps that are led by myself or our partner, Aaron, sometimes by our head of customer success, Angelica. And then there is a 12-week coaching cohort that I run under the University of San Francisco School of Executive Management that includes 10 calls with myself. And I help them connect the dots between what they're learning and then how to apply it in their particular world. And people who graduate that program not only earn our certification, which is accredited, the only accredited certification in customer success, but they also earn continuing education credits through the university. You know, Todd and I wanted to do something together that didn't involve us trying to implement something. You know, we've been through the enterprise software world way to, we're like, yeah, let's just do anything that doesn't involve implementing software.
Right, right.
And we realized looking back at our careers, we're like, you know, a lot of what we did as operational executives, and we're not curriculum, we're not instructional designers by trade, we're former operational executives.
So right.
We look back and said, okay, a lot of what we did was we taught people, we coach people, right? Good leaders enable their people to succeed. And we're like, well, let's just do that.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have 30,000 students on our platform. We've issued over 20,000
certifications. That's so crazy.
And we're global. We have students from, I think the last time we checked, 92 countries.
You're kidding. So are you doing localization then too?
We're not doing localization. Localization is a huge lift. What we are doing, though, is we are providing closed captioning. Our level one refresh has English, Spanish, German, Portuguese, and Japanese subtitles.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but even without those subtitles, we still have people from 92 countries that have taken our courses. That's crazy.
That's insane. How do you break into those other markets?
I don't know. It's the hell out of me. We produce a lot of good content. That's,
yeah,
that's
just provide value.
Business. That's Todd's side of the business.
Oh, it is. I was going to ask what he does because it seems like you're doing everything.
No, I just
don't tell content. Him I said that.
I produce content and run seminars and webinars and stuff like that. But Todd handles all the back end stuff, all the infrastructure, the marketing.
Yeah.
And we have, I think G2, we were one of the highest. Forget what the we got some notification that we were like the highest rated. Or
I like how you don't even know. You're like, it's just another one of those.
It's just another, exactly.
It's just somebody else telling me I'm wonderful.
Yeah, but we appreciate that. We appreciate the feedback, the positive. At one point, we were monitoring our NPS score on a daily basis, and our NPS was hovering between like 90 and 95, which is unheard of.
Yeah.
It's just, once again, it's a testament to our customers getting value. I mean, and what's great is we teach people the importance of your customers getting value, and our customers get value. So
yeah,
it's all good.
Okay. So here you are. You're remarried. You have two kids now.
Yeah.
You live in your dream home.
Yes.
That you moved into during COVID.
Yeah.
Do you still have those moments? Walking down dark hallways?
I do. Most of them are more, focused on the business, though. When I'm an employee, for the most part, I don't have to worry about my check not cashing.
Right.
When I'm an owner, I have to pay everybody before myself.
Yeah.
Right. And like when Todd and I were starting the business for the first 18 months, right, we were only pulling in about half what we needed. So, you know, and when you have down years, like everybody had last year.
Yeah.
That's the type of thing that keeps you up at night.
Yeah.
Right. And so that can be trying.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's a different kind of, am I doing the right thing for my daughter? Am I doing the right thing for my kid? You know, my son from my first wife, he's out of the house. He lives and works up in Vancouver, Washington. He actually works for Zoom Info in their research department. So he's on his own and he's doing great. And so part of me is like, okay, I've done something right. And same thing with my daughter. My daughter consistently demonstrates to me on a daily, weekly, monthly basis how the stuff that I've done, the way that I've approached raising her, that we've approached raising her, has paid off. She's an amazing kid. Absolutely amazing. She can do amazing things with her life. Right. Which keeps me from going down those dark paths. But still, I'd be lying if I said that I didn't question myself regularly. I was doing it last night. I was thinking about something that was having me kind of go down that path. And you know, my way of dealing with it now is I get up and I go find my kid and go talk to her. You know, it's a great way. Or I go find my dog.
Yeah.
Go find my teddy and go hang out with him because he's unconditional love.
Yeah.
So So.
Yeah, I mean, having a child, like, I mean, when you and I met, Dan and I were married.
You were married, but you hadn't.
We didn't have a kid. We had little Dee Dee.
Right.
Remember Dee Dee?
And what I do. I remember a lot of things about during COVID that we don't want to go into in this recording. You remember what I told you? I don't know if you remember what I told you. I said that having kids will change your life in ways that I can't even explain.
Yeah.
And it did, didn't it?
It did. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it does constantly. Yeah. I love being a mom.
Yeah, I love being a dad. Doesn't necessarily mean that it's easy, though.
No, it's definitely not easy. I mean, you know, you met Maddie. Before this, she's homesick today, and I think maybe that's why this weekend was so challenging. But yeah, she's a 2-year-old.
Terrible twos. So,
yeah.
They're called the terrible twos for a reason.
For a reason, they are. Yeah, but they're also like. There's so much. I just love like seeing her experience the world.
Yes.
And
yes.
learn new words and
experience the world through her eyes, through a, yeah. That's an awesome part of being a parent.
Yeah. Like I can't wait this year. For the holidays this year, she'll be 3. We're going to get the elf on the shelf and like, she's going to know about Santa and yeah. So I'm excited about that. I want to pivot and talk about, mindset from a customer success perspective, because in many of our conversations, you've said that, you know, it's less about like specific skills or, it's more about a change in mindset and I want to hear the story that inspired this thinking and then how you implement it in your coaching.
So I had this one professor who I had for a number of different courses in college, and regardless of how, you know, people view Chico, it was a big party school. At the time, it was also a really well-respected business school. But this professor would ask every time that we would show up for class, he'd say, what has happened since the last time we met? Which is something that I use in my coaching as well. And it was, he would ask that question to prompt you to kind of think about what's going on in your life, in your world. And what it really boiled down to was, it's less about what I'm teaching you and more about you learning how to think.
Right.
Learning how to think and reason and, you know, make critical decisions, critical thinking and reasoning, right? Which is what I got out of college. It was less about the content and more about kind of putting the pieces together so that you can sit there and say, okay, do I believe this? Do I understand this? Should I question this? Right? Being an independent thinker, which is unfortunately something that we're lacking in a large percentage of our country these days. Right? This concept of critical thinking and reasoning instead of blindly following, you know, talking on TV and on the internet. And so it's something that I became very well aware of and cognizant of in college, and something that I kind of pulled through and have used throughout my career. And it's kind of the basis of our training, right? It's less about the content itself. I'm not going to teach you how you should develop your onboarding process. I'm not going to teach you how you should build a success plan for your customer. What I'm going to teach you is I'm going to teach you how to think about it, how to approach it, and why it's important. And then It's up to you to take that and apply it in your world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But conceptually, I'm going to teach you conceptually, this is why these things are important. And that's like the basis of our program. Right? It's a lot of thinking. It's a lot of active listening. It's a lot of empathy. There's empathy and active listening throughout our content in different places. And it's there not to sell training. It's there because that's what you need to know. That's what you need to understand in order to serve somebody, in order to, whether it's your customer or it's your spouse.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The stuff that we teach, for example, in active listening is applicable whether you're sitting down with a customer and have a conversation, or whether you're sitting with your spouse or your child and trying to have a conversation.
Yeah, I believe it. God, I was going to say something and it flew right out of my brain. Have you ever coached somebody that you're like, this is not a CS person?
Oh yeah. Oh God. Oh yeah.
It sounds like there was more than one. So like, are there themes?
A few. And actually there were some where I was doing coaching and I was also trying to place them. So, you know, remember back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. We were doing recruiting and consulting to fund the development of our training program.
Right.
And it was actually once we had given up on the recruiting piece of it, we reached out to you and given your relationship with Todd and wanted you to be our special recruiter. Yes. I definitely have had my share of people where I'm like, yeah, you are not the right role for this.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say there's a lot of them. There were a handful of people and most of them didn't like what I had to say. I'd rather tell you the reality.
Yeah.
Then tell you something I think you want to hear and end up failing you in the long run.
Yeah, and wasting everybody's time.
Exactly. I had one guy who I was not sure about. I thought he was a little too intense. And he talked a lot. He didn't listen.
Oh, never a good sign.
Which is never a good sign, especially for somebody in a customer-facing role.
Yeah.
You need to shut up and listen, right? We were given two ears and one mouth. We should be listening twice as much as we speak. So against my better judgment, I went ahead and connected this guy up with a customer success leader that was hiring in his area. And thank God I had a good reputation with the hiring manager, because it was a complete failure. At one point, the guy just wouldn't stop talking. He was really intense. And at one point, when the hiring manager gave him his card, and this guy was so intense and actually really nervous that by the end of his 20-minute conversation with the hiring manager, he had mutilated his business card that he was holding.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, that's not a good. And the hiring manager called me. Actually called, he gave me shit about it too. And he did it kind of in a joking way, because I warned him. I'm like, okay, listen, this guy has some interesting background I think is relevant. Right? 'Cause I'm a big fan of, hey, you have some domain expertise. Well, we can teach you
the
other stuff.
Right.
But this guy was way too intense. I said to him, I said to the hiring manager, like, this guy's kind of intense, but it's not really good background. So I think you should probably.
Yeah. And sometimes it goes the other way.
Yeah.
So when I was first a recruiter, this was like my second job out of college. We had offices and the candidates would always come in and interview and, you know, very old fashioned pre-COVID, but there would be these guys that would come in and were just like, beads of sweat.
Yeah.
And like, and it was always so, and I'm like, I can be socially awkward sometimes. And so I'm always like, should I give you a tissue? Should I offer? Should I pretend it's not happening? Like, Should I go open a window? Because, you know, they're in these suits and they're like walking down Market Street or whatever in the financial district and coming into the office and, oh, so awkward. Yeah.
I always, so I am my son, he gives me shit about it because he unfortunately got this gene. He and I can, our sweat glands are overactive.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And sometimes I would get nervous, especially doing, when I was interviewing, but I knew that I was self-aware enough to realize that. So every time I would go for an interview, I would set myself up and schedule myself to be sitting in a coffee shop right in the, either in the lobby or down the street from where I was interviewing at least half an hour before I needed to be there. So I could kind of sit down, get my, you know, cool off.
Yes.
Especially during the summer.
Yes.
You know, you're not get myself in a good place mentally and physically.
Yeah. Speaking of sweat glands, my hands, the only thing that gets really sweat, my hands get so sweaty, and it's way better than it was when I was a kid. But like, I remember talking to my pediatrician and he's like, well, I think this will get better after puberty, but if not, like we can do a surgery. Cause I mean, I could put, you know, those like science tables that the black ones that you'd always have in high school, I could put my hand on it and just like, and you just see like, it's like so gross. And like my feet too. And Maddie, like sometimes I'll take her socks off and they're just like drenched.
So you got the sweat gland issue too.
Yeah, but only on my hands. But then like, you know, shaking hands, like I'm always like,
yeah,
nice to meet ya. You got to wipe it off first.
That was the worst thing about it was like you'd walk in and you'd be sweaty and you're like trying to shake somebody's hand. They're going,
Oh, gross. And then dating.
Yeah.
Like dating, like being like a, you know, nervous high school kid and like holding someone's hand when it's all sweat. Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. As if the braces junior year wasn't awkward. Yeah,
exactly. Like we got enough shit to deal with when we're, we're teenagers. Right?
I had to get braces for the third time for 7 months and 13 days my junior year of high school. I wouldn't let anybody take any photos of me like smiling or laughing. Because I have a fake tooth. I wasn't born with this adult tooth right here. And I got terrible, what are they, these things? Tonsillitis.
Right.
And I had an emergency surgery and I wasn't wearing my flipper that had the like fake one on it. And for like 2 weeks, cause it was hard to breathe anyway. And it closed up and they were like, well, we'll never be able to put your fake tooth in if you don't get braces again. And so I had braces and I was dating a freshman at the time. He was really cute and tall and on the soccer team as all of my boyfriends were, but he dumped me. So I'm a junior with braces dumped.
But you got dumped by a freshman.
I
find that so hard to believe.
Oh yeah. It happened.
Yeah,
it was really fun. Cool. Well, any other fun stories you want to tell me? I know we're kind of at time here. I don't know.
There's a lot. There's so many stories. I'm such the storyteller. Did I tell you that so as part of my divorce, I had a divorce party.
Oh,
and it was
kind of like an engagement party, but a divorce party.
A divorce party, and I was dating my girlfriend at the time who. I almost married actually prior to meeting my current wife. She had a friend who was a writer who wrote for the New York Times regularly. And that friend reached out to her like a month or two after I had the divorce party and was saying, hey, I'm doing this thing on divorce parties. And asked her if she knew anybody that had done a divorce party. And she said, yes, matter of fact, you should go talk to this guy, Andrew Marks. He just had one. I was at the party. And it was on the 1st of May. So it was my single de Mayo party. And so
that's really cute.
And so if you look up, if you Google Andrew Marks divorce party. You probably can still find it.
Okay, it's over. So now let's party.
Okay, it's over. So now let's party. So it actually appeared on the day before Valentine's Day in 2005.
At Andrew Marks' single day Mayo party, 80 guests ate Polynesian food and danced to Mr. Marks' divorce mix, which included Carlos Santana's Black Magic Woman and Fleetwood Mac's Go Your Own Way.
Yeah.
Friends gave Mr. Marks mostly gag gifts, including a voodoo effigy of his former wife.
Yes, which I still have. Yes, I have. There's in the garage in storage is the actual newspaper clipping from the New York Times. So I find out like a week prior to this being published that it was going out in the New York Times. And so I'm at my girlfriend's house who lived in Scotts Valley. Uh-huh. And the only place we could get the New York Times was at the Starbucks down the street.
Okay.
So we get up on Sunday morning and we go down to Starbucks to get coffee. And I grab the New York Times and I flip it over. And on Sundays, the Sunday South section is the outermost section on the New York Times. And I pick it up and I flip it over. And on the front page, and I have this clipped out, on the front page is a color photo of me standing with that girlfriend and two other women on a picture on the front page of the Sunday Style section of the New York Times.
Ugh. Oh, wait. Are you wearing Lay's?
Yes, I'm wearing a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh.
Did you find it?
Yes. Can I put this on Instagram, by the way, when I post this episode?
If you want to.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was fun.
This is hilarious. And
back then it was, you know, there was no iPod. So it was actual CD. So I had a CD changer and I actually burned
the CDs. Yep.
For the party. And so I actually have in the framed copy of the newspaper article, I actually put those CDs in there that have the music mix. So
this is so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You look so happy in this photo too.
I was. I mean, literally, we signed the divorce agreement the day before.
Oh my God. That is so hilarious.
Yeah.
I wish I were there.
It was fun.
Although I was probably like two. What year was it?
Two.
2005. So I was six.
Oh, great. Thank you. Thanks for that. Thanks for... I'm going through my first divorce when you're six. Is this where I can call you an asshole?
Sure.
Are you going to cut this out? You better
cut that out.
Wow. So should we start talking about some of those adventures in COVID that we experienced together?
Oh, weed? Weed's legal. It's fine.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah, it was fine.
Those were a few of those went back during the COVID days when we had those Friday happy hours.
Those were fun. And I don't think Todd ever joined. It was you and me and Aaron. And Aaron's wife.
Todd joined a couple of them. But yeah, it was mostly you and me and Aaron and whoever else.
Yeah.
And whatever else degenerates wanted to sit and drink via Zoom together.
I think everyone was drinking during COVID.
Oh yeah.
Like that was definitely a thing. I mean, that was just, it was so mind boggling. And I'm actually surprised that things are like, obviously things have changed, but that we're not like in the middle of a pandemic anymore. Like that was crazy.
Well, it'll happen again. There's unfortunately a significant enough percentage of the population that's just fucking stupid.
Yeah. Well,
that just ditches aside facts and scientific evidence.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm glad we did this again. I know this was like, I canceled our first recording and then the second one was a shit show. So I appreciate you hanging in there with me, but I think this one's going to be good.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's always good to chat.
I always enjoy chatting with you. It's very easy, natural.
Oh, okay. Cool. I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, you should.
I will.
Dan's a lucky man. Maddie's a lucky kid.
That means a lot. That means a lot. Thanks so much for listening to Success Unscripted. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating or writing a review. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss out on future episodes. I post the video on YouTube, and the audio can be found wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out Success Coaching at successcoaching.co and use code SRLAUNCH39 for 20% off of their Level 1 solo program. That's SR as in Sarah Roberts, Launch, LAUNCH 39. My goal is to bring you stories that educate and inspire you. So if you have any thoughts, questions, feedback, or if you have someone in mind who could be a great future guest, don't hesitate to reach out. I post episodes every other Friday, so I'll see you in 2 weeks.